John Tabor, appreciate you listening to the Sports Company this afternoon. Quick programming reminder before we get out of here. We'll be live tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. live from J.C. Love Field. Of course, Diamond Dogs will play Middle Tennessee at 4 o'clock. So join myself, Sean Fox, and Nick Brown for the Sports Company, 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you.
This has been the Sports Company with Sean Fox, presented by Bud Light. Come back every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. for more Sports Company on Sports Talk 977.
Louisiana Tech will play host for the 2024 Conference USA Baseball Championship inside J.C. Love Field right here in Ruston from May 22nd through May 26th, proudly hosted by Super One Foods. Lane Burroughs and his Diamond Dogs are poised for a top seed as they make their run for another Conference USA title and a spot in the NCAA Regionals. Fans can visit Championship Central at conferenceusa.com/tournaments for more championship info and call the La Tech ticket office at 318-257-3631 for tournament ticket information. We look forward to seeing you there. Go Dawgs!
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Wait, don't turn that station. It's Courtesy Chevrolet GMC's Memorial Day sales event. Get 1.9% APR, $3,250 purchase allowance, and no payments for 90 days on select new models. Visit Courtesy Chevrolet GMC. We are professional grade. Or visit buycourtesy.com.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Terms and restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Ends 5/31/24.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen. Text us at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. You can get us on that Rejuve-a-me hotline or text line. Numbers 888-993-7762. The Conference USA Tournament in Ruston, Louisiana has finally arrived. First pitch tomorrow morning scheduled for 9 a.m. on ESPN+. But before then, we got a lot to get into tonight. Of course, Louisiana Tech goes on the road. A little three-game sweep action. Bring out the brooms at Liberty as the Bulldogs finish their regular season at 41-15, 18-6 in Conference USA play. Bulldogs are your Conference USA regular season champions. I believe it's the third championship in 4 years for Lane Burroughs and his program. If you go back to 2021, a division title. Of course, that was the year in which Conference USA split into the East and the West. Of course, Tech and Southern Miss, I think they played like 19,432 times that year, but Louisiana Tech won the West Division in 21. You win the conference tournament championship on Tech's home field in Hattiesburg in 2022. And then here in 2024, Bulldogs finish 18-6 in conference play, win the regular season by one game, thanks to Middle Tennessee's victory over Dallas Baptist on Saturday. So what does that set up for us going forward into the conference tournament? Louisiana Tech will take the field for the first time tomorrow afternoon. That's a 4 p.m. first pitch at the Love Shack. Of course, that 4 p.m. first pitch is tentatively scheduled. Of course, you know how these conference tournaments go. First pitch might not be till 7 p.m. for all I know. But we'll have you covered. BleedTechBlue.com, $9.95 a month throughout the week. You can come check us out. Like I said, we'll have you covered. But got a lot to get into tonight. We got Louisiana Tech Athletics Director Ryan Ivey will join us at 6:45. Certainly appreciative of his time. I know it's a busy time. I want to say busy time of year. I don't know if he's slowed down since he was hired a couple months ago. So excited to spend 15 minutes with him. At 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by the Conference USA Yes, co-coach of the year, Lane Burrows. He'll join us at 7 o'clock. I would imagine it's a pretty busy time for Lane Burrows as well, as he's sifting through scouting reports amongst his peers in Conference USA. I wanted to start tonight. Of course, day prior to the Conference USA tournament, Conference USA releases their all-conference teams. You see some of the individual awards given away. And that's exactly what we had on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon around noontime today. So right off the top, you heard me mention Lane Burrows was named the co-coach of the year. Kudos to Lane Burrows. We've talked a lot about 28-31 a season ago. Year didn't necessarily go as expected. You wondered how the Diamond Dogs would respond in 2024. And boy, did they respond. So, Coach Burrows, and listen, here's my issue. Burrows was the co-coach of the year with Dan Heifner. Of course, Dan Heifner, I think he's been at Dallas Baptist since I was born. He's been there forever. He's done a tremendous job. But here's my bone to pick. Dallas Baptist was picked number one in the conference in the preseason, and they didn't finish number one in the conference. So what, isn't it fair to say the Patriots failed to meet expectations? But oh no! Oh no, 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 no. This is the participation trophy society that we live in. And Judy, I'm sure this is how the conversation went. Hey, Coach Heifner, it's Judy here at the Conference USA office. I'm really proud of how hard you tried this year. I know that you failed to meet expectations. But, Coach, you're the co-coach of the year this year. It puts tears in my eyes how hard you tried this year, Coach. Like, come on. Like, give me a break. Like, and I get it. Like, the conference's coaches vote on this, or the SIDs, or hell, who knows? We might let the media get into these things. Apparently, the entire Dallas Baptist media got involved. Maybe I'm barking up a tree, but I think it's ridiculous that you have co-coaches of the year. Like, let's be honest with ourselves for a second. Which coach did the better job? You want to do the whole co-coaches deal? Like, Mark Reardon at Western Kentucky deserves some credit. Program's been brutal. For going on 10 years, they won 34 games and had a chance to win the conference.
Not going to lie, I'd been okay with him getting it.
Over Burrows, I would have.
Over this co.
Yeah. Oh, that's a stuff. Load of crap. All right, now let me get into further a load of crap.
So you're not done.
No, I ain't done. First off, Ethan Bates was named the Conference USA Player of the Year, obviously. He was not named a semifinalist for the Golden Spikes Award, which... I disagree with. Ryan Johnson, DBU Friday night guy, was named the conference pitcher of the year. I think we could agree on that. He earned it. Walker Janik, catcher for Sam Houston State, was named the defensive player of the year. I think we can get on board with that. We'll get there. We'll get there. Michael DeTallo, infielder for Dallas Baptist, is named the newcomer of the year. Transfer from Northwestern State. Shout out to the Demons. But you look at the Conference USA first team and second team, and let me just, what do the kids say these days? The common core math? Dallas Baptist had 9 players on the first and second team. Tech had 5 players make the first team. 9 is greater than 5, but the team that had 9 players finished in second place, but their coach did the best coaching job. Make it make sense. It doesn't. It doesn't. Point blank, it doesn't. And in case you can't tell, BC's ranting a little bit because we know who. No, I'll be honest. The best 2 coaches in this conference were Lane Burrows and Mark Reardon. Dan Heifner is tremendous. This wasn't the year that he earned this opportunity to win this award. So you look at the first team for Louisiana Tech. Dalton Davis, tremendous conference slate, was huge for Louisiana Tech when he got back from his injury and injected himself into this lineup. Felt like Tech took off offensively when he moved into the leadoff spot. Cole McConnell missed 2023 season, came back with a vengeance, had a tremendous senior year, 17 home runs, 66 RBIs. Luke Nichols has been fantastic on Saturday for the Bulldogs. And then, of course, Sam Broderson, as lights out as it gets in relief, along with Ethan Bates, who, like I mentioned, was the Conference USA Player of the Year. Now, you get to this second team. You heard me mention that Tech had five players on the first team. They did not have a player make the second team. And here's where I got a bone to pick. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named George Corona. He's probably an all-time Bulldog, if I'm being honest with myself. From the state of Florida, has spent 5 years in Ruston. He's hitting .309 with 14 tanks. And he threw out 20 of 49 base stealers. I'm going to double check that. But he wasn't on the second team. The second team catcher, that position went to Grant Jay at Dallas Baptist, of course, because if you don't get Dallas Baptist's entire starting lineup, like, how could Judy ever go to sleep at night? And Grant Jay's a tremendous player. I think he had 18 home runs. I think he had 53 RBI. Had a good year. Here's my issue. In conference play, Grant Jay hit .253 with 7 home runs and 20 RBIs. In conference play for Louisiana Tech, George Corona hit .303 with 12 home runs in 24 games, drove in 22 runs, and threw out 67% of base stealers. And you're going to leave him off? Correction. Corona threw out 20 of 39 base stealers this year. That's absurd.
So 50%.
Yeah. Hey, can we just vote the best players to the all-conference teams? Is it too much to ask for? And look, I might sound like a certified nut job for going off about it, but like, can we just get the best players to be honored? Michael Ballard hit .330 in conference play. Doesn't get named to the second team over a guy that hit .260. Like, give me a break. Ballard committed one error all year at second base. Now, you want to take the approach of, hey, this should create a chip on the old shoulder? Well, hell yeah, it should. You're 41 and 15, and you're still not in the D1 Baseball or Baseball America top 25. I'm fine with that. Joey Fresh chimes in on the Rejuve Me text line. Of course, that number is 888-993-7762. Says, keep cooking, BC. Nichols. Colin Johnson says Nichols should have been the newcomer of the year and first team all-conference. Well, yeah, like, how's the newcomer of the year a second team guy? And then Nichols and Broderson, who are newcomers, are on the first team. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. You can't. If you're looking at top 25 polls, I believe Tech did crack the top 25 according to Perfect Game at number 23. I believe they're number 24 in the College Baseball Nation top 25. Like I said, kind of lean towards the old D1 Baseball, Baseball America polls. But hey, keep the chip on the shoulder. Keep you motivated. At the end of the day, you're 41 and 15, 18 and 6 in the conference. You're the conference regular season champion. You got the coach of the year. You got five first-teamers. You got the Conference USA Player of the Year. Plenty to play for this week. We're going to break it all down. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to take a look back That weekend at Liberty was special. Like, there was a lot on the line in terms of winning a regular season championship at 6:30. Have an RPI check-in. Take a look at some Field of 64 projections. And might Louisiana Tech have a chance to host a regional? What would it take? 6:45, Louisiana Tech Athletics Director Ryan Ivey. And then, of course, Lane Burrows joins us at 7 p.m. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You can never predict an emergency, so when seconds count, count on Pafford Emergency Medical Services. They have a history of providing our communities with the latest, most sophisticated level of pre-hospital emergency care and critical care helicopter service with Pafford Air One. Plan ahead to ensure quality medical care by enrolling in their membership program. Call 1-800-HELP-1. When every second counts, count on Pafford Emergency Medical Services.
Hey folks, this is Jody Wood at Wood Marine. The weather is heating up, and that means it's pontoon season. Be sure to come by Wood Marine and take advantage of our Memorial Day sale on Avalon pontoons ending May 31st. Prices are slashed thousands off MSRP and internet pricing. Whether it's a fishing pontoon or a high-performance tri-tune, we have the Avalon pontoon to fit your needs. We are stocked up and ready, so be sure and take advantage of this Memorial Day sale. There's no better time to save thousands on an Avalon pontoon and join the Wood Marine family. Come see us in Ruston for our Memorial Day sale ending May 31st.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, where you'll find six of the leading brands: Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Two pre-owned lots, local qualified service departments you can rely on. Shop 24/7 online at buycourtesy.com. Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family in Ruston.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Want to find stuff out about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. BC, John Taylor, let's jump right to that Rejuvenate hotline. We got our buddy Joey Fresh. How are you, pal?
What up, BC? You got me?
Oh, I got you, Joey Fresh.
Long time no talk, brother. Good to be back on. Let me start off with Compass USA. You better put your respect on Mr. Inside the Park home run, George Corona.
You ain't lying.
Nobody wants to see that man come up in a clutch spot.
How many catchers do you see with Inside the Park home runs?
I mean, the man is doing it in regionals. He does it in regionals. He does it during the regular season. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, Adarius Myers not being on second team, robbery. It's a joke. Michael Ballard, you said it too, DC. There's no need to, rehash what you already said. As far as the Burroughs coach goes, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's not like we didn't go to BBU in front of your 27 fans and take 2 out of 3 from you.
And
win it all. And you had 9 first and second teamers, and you had the assistant coach, blah, blah, blah. What did we do? We just took it from them. Took it. So Burroughs has the respect from everybody, except probably that garbage coach from Las Cruces, who's probably still using his binoculars to look up at us at the standard. Now, let's get into it, BC. How fun is this team been this year?
Joey Fresh, it's been a ride, baby. It's been a ride.
Has this been your favorite team in the past of this, I consider the third iteration of Burroughs team. Which has been your favorite out of those three? So I'll spell it out like this. That first iteration, you know, your Hunter Wells, your Parker Bates, that team. Second would be, you know, your Taylor Jones, your Steele Netterville, your Matulia, and then this one. Who are you taking out of those four?
Okay, Joey Fresh, I've had this thought a lot. Obviously, this story has not been finished yet with this new iteration. I think you look at that 21 team, they were that first team that kind of broke through. I don't know if I'll ever forget that Saturday inside the Love Shack against Southern Miss. I will never forget it. I think that 22 team obviously had the professional talent on it with four top 10 round guys. We'll see what happens with this year's team. I think when I look at this year's team, they're very, very talented, but the resilience factor that they bring to the team, like, it does not matter what happens to them, they get back up off the mat, and that's one thing I really admire.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that first team. Hunter Wells, I mean, he was the best hitter I've seen. It still boggles my mind that a guy like him can't make it at the next level.
Yeah.
Because he was just such a great hitter. But I'm partial to the 22 team because I was lucky enough to be at that Hattiesburg Conference USA Championship. And, you know, that's why we're fans, you know, to go and see stuff like that. So, but look, this team, man, so fun to watch. The best bullpen of any of those by far, obviously.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably the best overall player. I mean, what Bates has done this year, we'll never see again. So it's hard to say that Taylor Young is better, even though he might be, or Parker Bates, whatever.
It's an interesting debate.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, this team is just so good at home. I think this team's lineup is deeper than all those. With AD at six, batting .330, doing what he does, and the 6-0 cast in first, and nine, you know. But look, here's the deal. This team is going to bring home the chip this weekend, and we're so good at home, BC. I just don't see us dropping too much. I don't see us dropping one of those first two games. And if it comes down to us and VDU, Burroughs is going to have that bulletin board material ready. You best believe that. Thanks for taking me, BC, HBTV.
Appreciate it, Joey Fresh. Of course, you can get us on the Rejuvenate hotline. And text line number is 888-993-7762, just like our buddy Joey Fresh did. You know, he brought up an interesting question, Dave. He's like, it is always fun to compare teams. And like we said, the 2024 team, they haven't written their final chapter yet. But I think all three teams obviously are special in their own right. And I think all three teams were different from one another. I think when you look at this year's team, I think it's a little bit at the top of the lineup when you talk about Davis, McConnell, Bates, Corona. From a power perspective, it's a little top-heavy. You have some of those clutch guys later on.
In the late innings,
it's over.
Where's the hole in the lineup?
No, it's not. No, I agree. You know,
I'm not going to say one person or another was ever a hole in the lineup in years past, but there were probably weaker links.
Yes.
I mean, now did it coincide with pushing Caston back to the nine?
Oh, I think it's
sprinkled
been a good
little
fit
the
for
eight
him.
Slot, but primarily there in the nine. Now you're flipping Safford at eight. You're almost the way Will's just finding ways to get on base. You're damn near flipping the lineup at the eight spot now.
Well, yeah, and I think too. You talk about Safford, like kids had too many big hits. Like it feels like Caston Furr. You go back to that Thursday game against DBU. They have the big Liberty. They have the big right-hander on the mound. He's 94, 96, and you turn around a 3-1 fastball, and it's like, all right, like, you know.
I'll take it.
Yeah, haven't had a whole lot of nine holes that could turn around a fastball in that manner.
What's he at, seven or eight dingers now?
I think he's at five or six. But, I mean, the point remains, like, this team, I think, and there, that's not to say that there hasn't been valleys for this team. And I'm excited to ask Coach Burroughs about this. Like, I don't know.
Did that valley coincide with your all-conference first baseman being on the shelf?
Banged up. I think to some degree, yes. I think that obviously when you start 12-0, your expectations go through the roof. And you're going to have moments where you drop games. And like I said, they've always responded. Whether – it was that Saturday game at Arizona where you had a 5-0 lead. And we can all look back and say you should have won that baseball game. But you look up 2 months later, would you be the same team if you hadn't lost that game? I don't know that you could.
Maybe not. And I think when you go through 56 of them, you can probably find one or two
that you've stolen.
You pulled one out of your butt.
Yeah, I completely agree. So let's get to this Liberty series real quickly. Going back to the Thursday game, listen, it's a long road trip out to Liberty. I believe the team left on Tuesday night to drive to Dallas. It's obviously a long day of travel on Wednesday before a late-night practice on Wednesday night in Lynchburg. Beautiful facility out there. You take an early 1-0 lead. You get into that fourth inning. It starts raining. Personally, I thought they should have pulled the plug and went into that short rain delay quicker than they did. Coming out of the rain delay, Troyer hits the two-run double to give Liberty a 3-1 lead, and you're like, oh boy, like this series could go sideways. Tech responds in the sixth inning. Grant Como with an RBI ground out makes it 3-2. Safford puts the ball in play with two outs. First baseman boots it. It's a 3-3 game. In the bottom of the sixth inning, bases loaded, nobody out. We've seen it happen before. Lane Burrows pushes his chips to the middle of the table. Sam Broderson comes trotting in from right field out of the bullpen. He escapes that jam with not allowing a run to keep you right there at 3-3. And listen, we saw it the prior week against Western Kentucky in a 7-5 game in the ninth when he went to Broderson. He's really been clicking the right buttons, and that happens as a coach. Like, there are times where you click the right button. There's times where you click the wrong button. When he got out of that sixth inning, you felt like Tech was going to win. You didn't know how they were going to win, but you thought they were going to win. Come to the ninth inning, second and third, two outs. Adarius Myers hits one about 7 feet in front of home plate. Pitcher, catcher. I believe the catcher was a true freshman. You saw some of the youth in that situation. They misplay it. Ethan Bates scored. Bates closes things down in that ninth inning. Doubleheader on Friday. Louisiana Tech starts strong. Dalton Davis, two-run single in the second. Corona hits an inside-the-park home run, two-run shot in the third. It's 4-0. Kepley responds, really good player, center fielder for Liberty, a two-run shot in the third inning. Tech stretched their lead out to 8-2 after Corona's second homer of the game off the scoreboard in the sixth, and it felt like Tech was going to coast to a win. It was anything but easy. Liberty scored 6 runs over the final 2 frames. I believe 2 of those runs were unearned in the ninth inning, or 1 of those runs was unearned in the ninth inning. Had a couple of defensive miscues, but nonetheless, you were into extra innings. You get to the 11th inning, bases loaded. I believe there was 1 out when Adarius Myers stepped to the plate. And Adarius Myers has had so many big hits throughout his career, and really so many big hits throughout this season. Takes a hanging slider for a ground rule double to dead center field. He missed a grand slam by about 5 or 6 feet. I mean, the ball was absolutely crushed. Kasten Furr comes up 2 hitters later, stretches Tech's lead out to 12-8. Once again, Burrows goes to Broderson in the 11th. He shuts it down 1-2-3. Looking at the finale in the series, for being honest with ourselves, I think obviously Tech tasted the regular season championship. On the flip side, Liberty was done. Like, they've lost so many close games throughout this season. I think they're like 1-17 against quad one competition. Like I said, they're ready to go home. Tech scores 3 in the first. They get a single run in the third, a single in the fourth. In the sixth inning, Tech adds 4 runs to stretch the lead out to 9-1. They end up winning 10-1. Got a tremendous pitching performance from Grant Hubka in his second start. He gives you 5 innings, punched out 7, allowed 1 earned run, and then Turner Swistak shut things down with 4 shutout innings to earn his first save of the season. So really, all in all, I think all 3 games kind of encapsulated this season. Taves, I got to tell you this. Going back to that ninth inning, it was 10-1. You obviously had a Conference USA championship at your fingertips. Ground ball to Logan McLeod. Fly ball to center field to Cole McConnell for the second out. Fly ball to Adarius Myers for the third out. I don't know if you could draw it up any. Like, those are 5- and 6-year guys that are literally, like, they are Louisiana Tech baseball. Like, Logan McLeod's been hurt. You get him an inning defensively, ground ball to him, McConnell, like, that's who Louisiana Tech is. Those things don't happen by mistake. And I thought that was very cool for those three guys who have played such pivotal roles on really, really good teams over the last 4 or 5 years. So let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back, take a look at the RPI, take a look at some of these Field of 64 projections. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
If you've tried to get into your family doctor recently, you know that wait times are long and being seen for anything time-sensitive can be tricky. But in many cases, heading to the ER seems extreme, downright expensive, and not particularly speedy. That's where we come in. Coastal Urgent Care is here to help with your uh-ohs, oh-nos, and can't wait to feel betters. Walk in. Convenient locations and hours. No fuss. Coastal Urgent Care, where we treat you well.
Check out the Courtesy Automotive family with Courtesy Direct. Click it, pick it, then come get it. From our floor to your door, that's Courtesy Direct. Shop at buycourtesy.com 24/7 online or at two lots filled with six of the leading brands, Chevy, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep. Courtesy Automotive family on both sides of I-20, exit 86 in Ruston.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Every day is game day at the dugout in Ruston. Warm up with our bases loaded nachos and fried pickles. Make the call to the bullpen for that home run chili cheeseburger combo. And our chicken wings and chicken strips, well, they'll make you feel like an all-star. And you have to try our new Texas tacos. Plus, the dugout has the best frozen daiquiris in town. That's the dugout, 2008 Champions Way in Ruston at the Ruston Sports Complex.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
We're back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Excited to talk Louisiana Tech Athletics Director Ryan Ivey coming up in the next segment at 6:45. Also, we'll have the skipper of the Bulldogs, Lane Burrows, on at 7. Colin chimes in on the Rejuva-Me text line, says the emergence of Will Safford over the last month cannot be overstated. You know, Tabes, and I know, not to say I'm not into this, but those guys like Will Safford where you can't scout the box score, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't check a box score to realize a guy's value. In a lot of ways, I don't know, Adarius Myers is hitting way over 300 now. He's that type of guy. In terms of, and Lane Burrows talks about the work ethic and the extra time that you put in and the togetherness of the team. Like, you can tell the Saffords, the Myers, the Ballards, those types of dudes.
Just little things, and I know Lane's used the phrase, and I love it, you know, hard 90.
Yeah.
You hit a ground ball that probably ought to be a double play, one out with the bases juiced, but you leg it out hard and bust up the double play and still get the run in.
Exactly.
From third, little things like that.
Yeah, don't show up in a box score.
Right, doesn't show up in a box score,
but you get the bat in the hands of somebody else coming up after
you. Don't get the RBI, but you still find a way to get the run.
Or you lay a sack bunt down.
Exactly.
Yeah, those things are huge, and Will Safford's been pivotal in that role, and I think he's done a very good job defensively as well out in right field, which is kind of, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week. You know, this season hasn't come without adversity for Louisiana Tech. I was reading an article earlier this week that Matt Bellinson with the Ruston Daily Leader wrote And I had totally forgotten this, but back in 21 when Tech hosted the regional, Cole McConnell actually missed a month of that season with an injury. And so, you know, you are going to deal with injuries at different points in a season, and Tech's had Dalton Davis out for 9 games. Obviously, Logan McLeod's missed a lot of times. And to have a Grant Como that, while he's not hitting 300 and he's not driving in 50-55 runs, he's played really good defense at third base. He's had some big hits at different times. And like I said, Will Safford's played really good defense in right field. And I think the big hits that he's had, you know, they've been huge for Louisiana Tech throughout this season. So let's check in on the RPI. Obviously, Conference USA tournament starts up tomorrow. I believe the Big Ten tournament started today. The SEC started today. The Big Ten started today. I believe the Ivy League has already wrapped up their postseason tournament. The Patriot League, shout out to Army. They're back in the field of 64 year in and year out. Army's always in it. Good on them. Of course, Louisiana Tech played them earlier this year. But the current RPI for Louisiana Tech stands at 26. Obviously, top 16 teams hypothetically host a regional. And, you know, you don't have to be in the top 16 to host. If you're 17, 18, 19, you're going to be in the conversation. You look at an 18 like an Alabama. I don't think Alabama's hosting. I don't think they're in the conversation to host. They bowed out of the SEC tournament today. They finished 7th place in their league. You kind of get what I'm saying. Same goes for South Carolina at RPI number 19. So, Louisiana Tech's number 26 in the RPI. A good week this week. Of course, you'd have to eventually knock off Dallas Baptist, who is 21st in the RPI. I think both Louisiana Tech and Dallas Baptist could potentially play themselves into a possible hosting spot should they win the Conference USA tournament. But before we get to that conversation, Baseball America's latest Field of 64 projection. I believe this was published today, so May 21st. They will obviously update their projected field daily. Baseball America currently has Louisiana Tech as the 2 seed in Fayetteville. Arkansas is the number 5 national seed in this scenario. Kansas State would be the 3 seed. Nebraska, Omaha would be the 4 seed. Looking at D1 baseball, D1 baseball currently has Louisiana Tech traveling to the 3 seed Texas A&M, the number 3 national seed Texas A&M in College Station as a 2 seed, TCU as the 3 seed, and obviously the Omaha darling from 2023, Oral Roberts, as the 4 seed. I believe Oral Roberts still plays in the Summit League. Good program.
Well, yeah, let's not remember what they did just last year.
Yeah, really good program. So here's kind of where I stand. First off, you look at some of these projections that both have Louisiana Tech as a 2 seed. It doesn't sound like you're remotely close to the bubble right now. Now, go into the conference tournament, you drop 2 in a row. Obviously, things can change. A few teams win a conference tournament that were not projected to be in the field of 64. It could get dicey come 6 days from now on Selection Monday. But right now, you're in a great spot. As far as the destinations go, Texas A&M as a 3, as the number 3 national seed, or Arkansas as the number 5 national seed. I don't know how much you should truly value. I think D1 baseball and Baseball America, they're obviously trying to regionalize where they're sending these programs in their projections. But an example for me would be this. Tech's 26 in the RPI. Dallas Baptist is 21 in the RPI. Tech obviously won the Conference USA regular season championship, and they took 2 of 3 in Dallas earlier this season. Well, in D1 baseball's projections, Dallas Baptist is a 2 seed in the number 16 overall seed Oklahoma State's region. Like, I don't necessarily agree with Dallas Baptist getting a more favorable draw than Louisiana Tech. I mean, you're looking at a difference in Dallas Baptist going to College Station and Louisiana Tech going to steal. I mean, like, there's not much.
That's got to be out of conference play, right?
Yeah, but
I'd have to look at DBU's
I would think schedule. So. Yeah, well, you look at Dallas Baptist. They're 8-2 against Quad 1 competition.
That's why.
Tech's 3-5.
There you go. That's why.
Quad 2, though, they're 5-9, where Louisiana Tech's 5-4.
Still, that 8-2 in that quad one, okay. That's what's carrying
on. Okay, that's my question. Like, is that significant?
I don't know if it personally is or not.
I to me,
with the metrics,
the head-to-head value should be more value.
The math head-to-head probably says it is, though.
Well,
you know, I'm not Warren Nolan over here. No.
You're not Warren Nolan, but so I what I'm saying, though, my point remains in the fact that I think they're all projections. Like, I don't think Kendall Rogers and Aaron Fitt and Teddy Cahill and some of these, they don't know where you're getting placed. They're trying to put the bracket together as best they could put the bracket together.
And college baseball has shown a tendency to try to regionalize.
They have.
As much as possible.
And you look at some of the other projections. I think Mississippi State's projected to go to Terre Haute, which is Indiana State's host. When obviously that's not that close to Starkville, you could.
It's probably not as far away as you would. I mean, it's not going out to Oregon or something. Though.
But you could regionalize Mississippi State into a different spot. Like, you could send them to NC State very easily.
Somebody's got to go somewhere, BC.
Yep, dogs need to go to Terre Haute. That's what I'm saying. You kind of catch my drift.
Wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't be mad.
I will say, Indiana State.
What about the Raleigh?
I'll say this.
They're hot right now, too.
Yeah, Indiana State. I mean, North Carolina State is on a heater.
Yep.
They are on a heater. Ant chimes in on Rejuvenate Tech. So I said, could it be that they have Tech getting in as that large and DBU winning the tournament, which potentially bumps them up? That's a good point. They could be projecting that.
I saw that in their little, I think three, they had three guys with their projections. Two or three had DBU winning the tournament, one had Tech.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's a good point, though. They very well
combination could. of that and the quad one wins.
Okay, let me ask you this. Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball, said that obviously with Tech's recent hot stretch, they've now entered the conversation as a team that could potentially host. I think that's predicated on Louisiana Tech running the table in the conference tournament. 4-0, you win the championship.
Probably need a little help ahead of you.
I think you would need some help ahead of you. Your RPI at that point would be 18-19.
I mean, one of those four wins probably needs to be DBU.
Yep, and probably need one or two over Sam Houston, who's
probably
number
70. Probably two over Sam Houston.
And they're number 70 in the RPI. But like you said, I do think you would need some assistance. I think, you know, you look at the top 20.
You mentioned one like Bama.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they may not fall behind you in the RPI,
but you'll be ahead of them
may,
in the hosting race.
Right, you may close the gap enough to where they're like, you know what, let's take a team that won their conference tournament,
correct,
has hosted recently, put on a good show.
Yes, and you know, another school like that would be a South Carolina. Another school like
that.
He was
also one and done today.
Yes, no, they beat Alabama.
That's right, they did come back one day. Okay,
but another school like that would be Wake Forest, who sputtered at the end of the year, swept at NC State. Most believe they're off of a hosting line currently. They're at number 11 in the RPI. You know, there are paths to get there.
They're kind of in that spot where they could play their way back onto the host line.
Should they win the ACC
Or they
tournament.
Go 2-Q and could wind up
as a 3 seed.
Right. Well, I'm probably not, probably not a 3, but a 2 seed going to Arizona or something like that.
Correct. So, I think the odds of Louisiana Tech hosting an NCAA regional are pretty slim.
If you had to put a number on it, what would you say?
5%? Assuming you win the conference tournament.
Yeah, I think 5% is right. Well, no, because I don't think winning. I think you got to go undefeated.
Yes. Yeah. 4-0. Yeah, I agree. I think you're in that 5-10% range, though. So, really good discussion.
But
that's kind of where things
it's
stand.
It's something to keep the hunger.
No doubt about it.
I mean,
it.
You look at somebody like Georgia who they may could have played their way into a top 8 seed.
But now.
But they really didn't have much to play for today. And
it showed.
It showed, and you know, LSU played their really good ball and beat them like a drum.
Yeah, Absolutely. So let's go ahead and take our next time out. We got Louisiana Tech Athletics Director Ryan Ivey joining us next. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
As summer comes to a close, you may have a kid heading off to school. That's a great reason for a complete car checkup from Walpole Tire and Service. They'll diagnose check engine lights and service everything from brakes to shocks and suspensions. And if that car needs tires, you'll find big rebates on the largest selection of name brand tires, including Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Continental, and more. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston and West Monroe. Visit walpoletire.com.
GBC Life Services has been a leader in disability and behavioral health services in North Louisiana since 1962. Our mission is to provide compassionate, individualized, long-term care supports and services to help those living with developmental and mental health challenges to thrive in life. Our services include supported independent living, community home living, primary medical, and acute and outpatient behavioral health services. For more information, call 318-397-6680. Find us online, gbc.la. GBC, serving you is what we do.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Louisiana Tech will play host for the 2024 Conference USA Baseball Championship inside J.C. Love Field right here in Ruston from May 22nd through May 26th, proudly hosted by Super One Foods. Lane Burrows and his Diamond Dogs are poised for a top seed as they make their run for another Conference USA title and a spot in the NCAA Regionals. Fans can visit Championship Central at conferenceusa.com/tournaments for more championship info and call the La Tech Ticket Office at 318-257-3631 for tournament ticket information. We look forward to seeing you there. Go Dawgs!
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Let's jump to the Rejuvenate Hotline, where we're joined by Louisiana Tech Athletics Director Ryan Ivey. I know it's a busy time of year, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Happy to be on. How's everything going for you guys?
Going very well. So before we get into things Louisiana Tech, I want to ask you about this revenue sharing that's obviously a popular talking point within collegiate athletics these days. I guess from a general perspective, do we really know how much or how it would impact the G5? I think the big thing we've seen so far is the revenue drop in terms of the college football playoff, in terms of kickback from the TV deal thus far. But just kind of from your point of view, how are you guys viewing things at this point?
Well, I think all of us at the G5 level are anxious to understand exactly what it's going to look like from a highest resource institutions and kind of what they're going to do from a revenue sharing model. I mean, I think what I know of it so far is it is going to be a model that will be permissive for all, I would say all Division I institutions at this point in time. But as I've told others beforehand, I mean, it's hard to share revenue when you don't have revenue.
Yeah.
And I mean, ultimately for us, we're at a point, as I've told people, I mean, if I'm sharing nothing, I'm giving you nothing, right? And so ultimately for us, we don't run an athletics department that turns a profit. So it's going to be hard to really manage that whole revenue share portion for us without having to make some major cuts from a sports standpoint. And I don't think that's the intention of this legislation at all.
No doubt about that. So back to things Louisiana Tech. Obviously, you've only been on the job a few short months, but what are a couple of things that you've really learned about this Ruston community within your Louisiana Tech athletics department thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I think the Ruston community has been awesome so far in a couple of months I've been here. I mean, there is a ton of passion for Tech. I think they understand and truly embrace the town-gown relationship, understand the economic development, the impact that certainly the university has on the community. I think most people would tell you that without the university, I don't think Ruston would be what it is today. And so I think there's an appreciation for that, and I think that's a good thing. You know, when I think about really good college towns and college environments, I think about those type of relationships and understanding that it takes everyone to be on the same page to help grow everything that we're doing. And so that is one thing that I've certainly noticed, and I kind of knew that beforehand, or had heard that beforehand, and certainly have experienced that so far. And so I think that's really exciting for us. I think it's exciting for the opportunity that we certainly have in front of us. And so it's been fun to be able to have those conversations with people. And again, I think with passion comes sometimes consternation, right? And I've found that as well, right? That some people are frustrated maybe with some of the things that we do and really how we've approached that. And so what we've tried to do over the last couple of months is really take an opportunity to listen, to figure out, again, how we can eliminate some friction points, what we can do to eliminate the barriers to entry and make it fun for people to be a part of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Well, you mentioned that point, and I've seen you've been really active on Twitter or X, whatever we call it these days, in terms of engaging with fans. Is that something that you've always done at some of your previous stops, or is that something where you feel like early in your tenure especially, it's good to go out there and listen just so that they know you're listening and are willing to listen to some of these ideas that they might have, whether, you know, you can ultimately act on them or not?
Yeah, I'd say I think it's something that I've always done. I mean, I think probably a detriment to my own sanity sometimes with it, and I think my wife would tell you she would rather me not do it at times. But it's something that I've done and something that I think is important because, again, we talk about open lines of communication. And social media, to me, creates an opportunity for us to have that open line of communication. Now, sometimes it causes some backlash, and sometimes it causes some issues because you get some people that want to use it for certainly the wrong reasons. But I think ultimately it creates an opportunity to really create some dialogue and certainly some connections between myself and supporters, and maybe supporters that I don't see on a regular basis. And so I've always believed that it's important for me to be open, to be accessible, and I will do that, whether that's at, you know, athletic events, on social media, or shooting an email, or calling the office or something, right? If I'm there, my job ultimately is really to serve, and I firmly believe that, and I'm here to serve everyone. That the ultimate role of the AD is to serve our coaches, our student athletes, and our fans and our supporters alike.
Conference USA tournament obviously starts up tomorrow morning. It's a huge deal. Obviously, it's very difficult to put on a tournament of this magnitude. A lot goes into it. I know Gerald Jordan and his team have been hard at work for many, many weeks. How long does it take to plan these types of things so that you can execute them at a high level?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you this tournament's been being planned before I even got here. So, I mean, I couldn't even tell you exactly when it takes, but I know Gerald and his staff and really our staff as a whole have been planning this for at least a year and then making sure that everything's right. And it, again, that it creates a good experience for everyone. Certainly, we want the opportunity to be able to host it. We think it provides some really good economic development and impact for the Ruston community, Lincoln Parish community, everything that we have here to offer to showcase. Obviously, our facility, I think, is the best in the league and second to none, and creates a great atmosphere for student athletes alike. And we think it certainly creates an opportunity to really have a competitive advantage for us. But we also want to make sure that every student athlete and every participant and every fan comes in here and certainly has a good experience. And so those guys have been working hard for a long time to make sure that we certainly have everything moving forward for this week.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. A couple weeks ago in a press conference, Lane Burroughs mentioned that, you know, you don't necessarily think about it in these terms all the time, but for most kids around the country, the extent of postseason experience that they'll get is a conference tournament, or, you know, whether it be baseball or basketball or whatever sport it might be. So I know that you want to make those kids and these different programs, obviously I'd imagine all of them are in town now, but have everything that they need so that they feel welcomed into our community as well.
That is very true. I mean, again, I can remember my time as a student athlete and just over the course of my career, understanding that, again, very few get the opportunity to participate in NCAA postseason play. And so for us, from a, to be a good conference partner and to make sure that we're creating an opportunity for all the participants to have a great experience, I think is critical of really being a host. And if we're going to continue to host championships and have the ability to host championships, then we certainly need to make sure that we are achieving that high benchmark that I know that these guys set in 2021.
You guys have done some of these tech talks over the past couple of weeks, and I know y'all guys will get out on the road, go to some different stops, not only around Louisiana, but into Mississippi and into Arkansas and into Texas as well. From your point of view, and maybe from Dr. Henderson's point of view as well, what will some of the goals be as you get out into some of these different communities, and what kind of feedback are you guys looking to garner?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's just really about engagement, right? I know Dr. Henderson is big on broad-based engagement and making sure we're creating opportunities for anyone that has been connected to tech or that wants to be connected to tech has an opportunity for engagement. Again, we're creating an opportunity for people to get to know us, to really peek behind the curtain, if you will, to understand what's going on from an athletics perspective. But, you know, for me, when we talk about this summer tour that we have coming up with Techs in Town, it was important to make sure that it wasn't just about athletics, that we are showcasing our institution as a whole and creating an opportunity for Dr. Henderson and others throughout the academic community to certainly be involved. We've got some amazing things that are going on from an institutional perspective, and really to be able to have an opportunity to showcase in conjunction with athletics, I thought was really important. And so we hope to do that. We hope to have an opportunity to have some conversations with admitted students in the area, maybe prospective students in the area as well, alumni that maybe that haven't been engaged. You know, if it's been a while, come on out. Like, just the opportunity to shake hands, to really have conversations and understand what the future is going to be for Tech Athletics and obviously the university as a whole.
Last question, I'll let you get out of here. I have to imagine the last couple of months have been pretty hectic for you. What's Ryan Ivey going to do this summer to maybe relax a little bit with his family?
Well, first and foremost, we got to find a house. We hadn't done that yet, so we were working on still trying to figure that. We're closing our house in Nacogdoches on the 28th, so we'll be glad to have it behind us, and certainly hoping to have the opportunity to have a house here in Ruston. But I'm fortunate where I've got a wife and that is ingrained in this life with me. I've got two boys that we chase around from a basketball and tennis perspective, so we will be involved in their life, but hopefully certainly have the opportunity to enjoy the Ruston community. I mean, we like being outdoors. We like being around each other, whether that's competing on the golf course or the tennis court or whatever it may be. You'll see us around there, but we're looking forward to having an opportunity to really just to get involved in the Ruston community. I'm really looking forward to the Peach Festival, to be honest with you.
No doubt.
I am a big peach fan, and so I'm looking forward to having that and experiencing that for the first time. But this is a great opportunity for us. Again, we look forward to be able to take advantage of the many just outdoor activities that certainly Ruston has to offer.
No doubt about it, Ryan. Well, we appreciate you joining us tonight. Looking forward to seeing you out at J.C. Love Field this week.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Ivey, Louisiana Tech Athletics Director, joining us on the Rejuve-Me Hotline. Let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back. We got the skipper of the Bulldogs, Lane Burrows, will join us. Be back right after this.
This is James Taylor with Central Next Bank. As a current member of the U.S. Army National Guard, I understand the sacrifices made by our military and their families. On behalf of Central Next Bank, we say thank you to all service members. Thank you for navigating deployments and missed family moments, and especially for your bravery and dedication to our greater good. During Military Appreciation Month, and always, thank you for your service. Central Next Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Rejuve-Me, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement therapy. Let us be your age-defying clinic.
You've heard about it? We've got it. Semaglutide. RejuveMeMedical.com.
At Rejuve-Me, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement and weight loss therapy. It's time to begin your journey to a better you. Rejuve-Me Medical, now open in Monroe. RejuveMeMedical.com.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
At Thomas Auto Care in Homer, we remember all of those that gave some and some that gave all. To everyone who has worn our country's uniform, defending freedom, and ensuring that this is the greatest land on the face of the earth. Thank you, veterans, from Thomas Auto Care in Homer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
The Thomas promises we do it right.
Thomas Auto Care, 927-4354.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it! Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
From the athletic director to the head coach of the Diamond Dogs, Lane Burrows joins us on the Rejuve-Me Hotline. Coach, I know it's a busy time of year. I know the conference tournament starts tomorrow. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Man, absolutely. Love to talk to you guys. And at the end of the day, we just had our coaches meeting, administrative meeting, and went over the ground rules and sitting in my Jeep. Waiting to head home, but wanted to stop and talk to you guys for a little bit.
So let's go back to Liberty. Obviously, there was a lot at stake this past weekend. It's a long road trip out there. You guys have had some really tough trips throughout the year. But to that final game on Saturday, that final inning, we talked about earlier, it was 10-1. You felt like you were obviously going to win. To see Logan McLeod, Cole McConnell, and Adarius Myers, three guys that have been here 5 and 6 years in succession, convert the final three outs. I know that had to be pretty cool for you as a head coach.
Well, pretty appropriate. I don't think you could have scripted it any better. And I'll give Coach Gaspard a lot of credit. You know, that's why you have a good bench coach, because as a head coach, you don't think about a lot of things. And he kind of came to me before I ran over to third base, said, "Hey, what do you think about getting Logan in the game?" And I said, "I think that's awesome." You feel like, hey, we're talking about a guy that was Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, and the game's going to find you. He's been sitting over there for about 8 hours, and first ball put in play is hit to him. And, I mean, he picked it and threw a strike, center cut over to first, and then obviously Cole and AD catching the last out to secure the championship. I mean, it if you could draw it up, that's how you would want it to look. Those guys are all roommates. They live together. They came in together, obviously AD the year before, but they've been through so much with this team, the good, the bad, the ugly, and they've meant so much to our program. And, yeah, that was pretty special, to be honest with you. And I know it's something they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
The last couple months, there's no doubt that this team has faced adversity at different points. You go back to that middle game at Arizona, obviously the game against New Mexico State in which the big lead got away from you. The one thing that I've always gone back to is this team has responded. And it's a toughness standpoint. They don't ever seem to be fazed by anything. Is that something that you can see in a team prior to a season, or is that something that you kind of figure out once the bullets start flying?
I think it's something you figure out. And, look, it's something we talk about. And, you know, whether it's baseball or life, there's going to be bad days, man. You're going to get knocked down, and one of the best things you can do is respond, and how you respond. And it seems like ever since I've been here, it's no recipe, and it's nothing I'm doing, I promise you. But whenever we need a win and whenever we have a bad loss, it seems like our guys bounce back. They find a way to get it done when we desperately needed to get it done. And that Arizona game, I said it this morning on another show, and I mean it. That Saturday game, we have a 5-0 lead. You got Broderson and Bates, two of the best in the business to do it, two of the best to ever do it here. And you need three outs, and we end up losing 6-5. And hey, man, we go to the back of the locker room, and I mean, there's guys bawling their eyes out. They played so hard, and you know, the bus ride back to the hotel was quiet, and just, you know, the message was how much we loved them, and how hard they played, instead of seeing yourself out there competing. You outplayed them for 8.5 innings, and you outcompeted them, you outtuffed them, and we knew, you know, as a coach, this is going to go one or two ways. It's either going to tear us apart or it's going to bring us together. And even as a loss, I just look back at that. I think that was the turning point of our season. We lost the next day. It was a pillow fight. Everybody was exhausted, and we come back home and get back at 5 in the morning on Monday and go play ULM on Tuesday. We win, and then we go to Dallas, and we end up winning that series at DBU, and we really hadn't looked back since then. We've had a couple of tough losses. You mentioned the New Mexico State game, but again, I just think that game at Arizona, it really turned our season around and brought us together. And every time we've needed to get a win and answer the bell, our guys seem to do it. And as a coach, that gives you a comforting feeling that when you got to have it, you know your guys are going to come through.
I mentioned earlier some of the tough road trips this year. Obviously, it's never easy to drive to Dallas, fly out the next morning, long trip of travel, practice when you get there, play the next day. After you guys were able to accomplish that regular season conference championship, I think you had the opportunity to charter a plane home on Saturday to get home at a decent hour. I know that had to mean a lot for you, knowing that the administration put that together after such a rewarding weekend.
Well, look, we can't thank them enough for doing that and thinking that much of our program. And you know this, that's not something we get to do ever. Not very often. We never get to charter very much. And most of our guys have never done that. You know, I coached in the SEC and the Big 12. We were able to do it. But to not only get a sweep and win a championship and then, hey, we get to go out and enjoy that and get up and drive to Roanoke. And 2 hours later, you're landing in Monroe and you get a police escort. You got fans here waiting on you. Hey, those are the things those kids will remember for the rest of their life. They'll remember the championship and all that, but that charter back home was pretty special. And you know, when we got word that, you know, we're going to try to charter you back, it kind of put the pressure on you a little bit, man. You need to go up there and win. And we had the tough game on Thursday. We were able to win by one run, and then the Saturday first game, you know, obviously we're up, we got a pretty good lead, and they tie the game. We go 11 innings, we never gave in. AD gets the big double, and we end up winning the game. And you just felt it. Look, it, no way we're losing this game, game two, and we were able to obviously win 10-1. But that charter back, that was huge. And throughout this year, BC, we've had such tough travel trips. We've had four really hard flights and bus trips after those flights and before them. And we've given our guys a lot of time off, man. We've given them some rest, and I think they've responded to that. I think sometimes this time of year, you want to push and you want to squeeze, and I think sometimes, especially when you play the same lineup every night, I think sometimes rest is the best prescription, and our guys have responded. Every time we've allowed them to have a couple of days off, it seemed to work in our favor.
When you get into these conference tournament settings, obviously much different than a regular season setting, how differently do you manage these games, whether it's game by game, or do you ever take advantage or try to look ahead? Do you have that luxury in a conference tournament?
Well, I don't think you can. You know, it's a great question. I think it's one game at a time. I know that's coach speak, but it really is. I mean, you look across the country, and that was the message to the team today, man. Get your edge and get your chip on your shoulder. We had some guys I thought got snubbed in some voting, and if that's not enough to motivate you, I don't know what will. And you look across the country, and there's, you know, eight seeds beating top seeds every day. I mean, it's one game, and it's baseball, and anybody can beat anybody. And Middle Tennessee's beating us this year, and you don't need to look at their record. They got a good team. They got good arms. They got a lot of power. They run a lot. They beat DBU the other day. It's a team that can beat anybody, and we need to go in with the focus of getting in that winner's bracket. Getting in the winner's bracket is so important when you got a week-long tournament. Because you're going to have to fight your way out. You're going to have to play every day. If you're able to win that game one, and if you're fortunate to win game two, you get that day off and you can kind of reset. But no, you can't look ahead in these games. You got to go to work. And, you know, I know we're sitting here with a pretty good RPI and we got a pretty good record, but you know how my brain works. I never feel like we've done enough. I always feel like you got to do more. It's kind of how I live my life. Told the team that today, man. I just, I always feel like we have to do more and we got to prove more. And I think our guys will be ready when we hook it up tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you kind of took the next question out of my mouth. How often do you let yourself check an RPI or check a field of 64 projection this time of year?
Well, look, in the past I never looked at RPIs just because it's one of those things. You control what you can. That's something you can't. All you can do is go out and win and play the schedule that's in front of you. And we schedule so far in advance, you know, 2 to 3 years, and somebody could be really good at this year. In 2 years, they couldn't be having a good year. So you got to play the schedule that's in front of you. But the last 2 years, I was appointed on a regional advisory committee, so I've actually had to check it a lot because you kind of have to talk about all the teams you play and the teams in your region, and so I've been forced to really look at it. And it's amazing, you know. A month ago, we were probably in the 70s and 80s. With a tough stretch in front of us, you know, playing DBU, playing Arizona, playing Sam Houston State, Western Kentucky, going on the road to Liberty, and all our guys have done is won. And you got to win those games, and when you win them, you make a good jump. You inherit those schedules of those other teams, and our guys are taking care of business, man. And you know, I don't like looking at it, but I've had to. And you know, you feel like RPI is in a really good spot right now, but things can change. And as long as you take care of business and win what's in front of you, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Last question, we'll let you get out of here. Obviously, all conference teams announced today. Ethan Bates is the player of the year. Dalton Davis, Cole McConnell, Luke Nichols, Sam Broderson also on that first team. But I'll say it. I felt like George Corona got a little bit of a snub, so I'll let you brag on him a little bit. Just talk a little bit about, whether it's offense or defense, just how much George Corona has meant to this program through the years.
Well, you got to be careful because, look, you don't want to damper the guys that got
right,
honored.
Yeah.
And look, guys that get honors, I mean, it's good for them, and they earned it. They deserved it, too. But this is when the dad comes out in me. And, you know, I addressed it with the team today, man. It is what it is. And, you know, that one hurt me. I think it hurt George, and I think it hurt our team. You know, there's a young man that has called pretty much every game since he stepped on campus. I think he's the best catcher in college baseball, and especially in our league. You know, the guy's got 14 homers, and he's always produced offensively late in the year. But the thing he does is he shuts down running games. He blocks extremely well, and he calls a great game. And we'll face teams that's got 70, 80, 90 stolen bases, and they don't run because of him. And, you know, I hate that he didn't get honored. But, look, it's I guess go out and show him this week, and maybe it's a little motivation. But George has meant so much to our program. I mean, when you can have that guy behind the plate for that long, BC, I mean, that's like having a quarterback for years that's really good. And you know, he's a cornerstone. And I had a word for all our seniors our last practice a couple of weeks ago before we played Western. And his word was standard, man. I think he's the standard at the catching position from here on out. You know, I'm very biased, but I think he's the best catcher to ever catch here. And I think anybody that plays that position from here on out, they're going to be compared to him. And he's just a special young man, special family, and he's a really, really good baseball player.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking some time to join us tonight, and looking forward to seeing you guys back in action tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Y'all take care.
Lane Burrows, Louisiana Tech head baseball coach, joining us tonight on the Rejuve-Me Hotline. Let's go ahead and take it next time out. I want to react to that. You listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Ginn's Auto Body Ruston, North Louisiana's premier auto body service center on Industrial Drive in Ruston, where quality collision repair begins.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hey, Tech fans, coming in town to watch the Dogs play? We'll stay with the whole family at a fully furnished home in Ruston, Monroe, or one of our area Great Lakes. For more information, go to staywithsouthern.com. That is staywithsouthern.com. And Bleed Tech Blue listeners, listen up, because this offer is just for you. BTB listeners use code BTB24. That's BTB24 for 10% off any and all stays. Again, staywithsouthern.com. Hey, DQ fans, get ready for a full-size meal deal for just $7. That's right, when you order up a $7 meal deal at DQ, you get a full-size dining experience. Choose between single original cheeseburger or three-piece chicken strips plus regular fries, regular drink, and our world-famous DQ sundae of your choice. Now you and your wallet are full. Only at participating locations, DQ, where happy tastes good.
Want to find stuff out about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Final segment of the show as we wrap it up on a Tuesday night. BC, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Of course, you can get us here in the final segment of the Rejuvenate Hotline and text line. Number is 888-993-7762. Ed chimes in. Says, Ryan Ivey seeked me out at a baseball game recently, spent 30 minutes letting me talk and ask questions. He gets it, folks. I would completely agree. My one comment would be, I think it's very, I don't know if refreshing is the right word, maybe encouraging, just to see the interaction on Twitter. And like I said, you can't necessarily accomplish everything that every single fan wants you to accomplish, but showing that you're willing to listen goes a long way with a lot of folks. And I think that in a community like our community, small town Ruston, I think it means a great deal. And I think Ryan Ivey has done a tremendous job at that early on in his tenure. And I'll go back to the ESPN Plus stuff right after he was hired. Getting every game on ESPN Plus, like it mattered to him, because it mattered to the fan base. And in turn, I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not saying Tech went 41-15 because it happened, but, like, he took the step to get it done, and the team obviously played very well, and I think that, you know, that's one of those things that kind of helps you enhance your fan base. Unnamed Texter says, how about the new Conference USA partnership with Pickles? Yeah, I hope Judy has the old new pickle partnership at the Love Shack this week. That'd be a pretty cool addition, wouldn't it, Tapes? Long day at the Shack in the sun, a little pickle juice couldn't hurt, right?
I mean, what better time to debut the new partnership than at your baseball tournament?
Well, I know.
Who doesn't enjoy a good pickle at the park?
Say Lane Burroughs wins the conference championship on Sunday. Do we douse him with pickle juice? Courtesy of Judy?
You know what? Why not?
Why not? All right, I want to go back to that interview with Lane Burroughs. I wanted to give him a chance to speak about George Corona because, and I said this last week, it feels like the last 5, 6, 7 years we've had so many quote-unquote all-timers.
I mean, just
because I think
just
we
before
have.
Georgia, we've had two great ones in Manny and Brent.
Brent Diaz, really good catchers.
So yeah, Georgia had a standard to live to when he arrived,
and
frankly, I think he's pushed that standard even more.
And I think the thing about George Corona is he's not the guy that you're always requesting to have the interview with. He's not the guy that you're always talking about as far as the best hitter on the team. It kind of goes back to my point earlier about when you talk about Will Safford or Adarius Myers, some of the little things that they do. And Lane Burroughs said it, standard. Like, that's George Corona. Like, that's who he is
for 5 years. I know they send in pitches now, but I still think a catcher still runs the staff.
He does. He calls the pitches.
And
how many catchers in America not only call the pitches, but clip runners at an over 50% rate while hitting 300 with 14 jacks? Maybe two or three. Like, there ain't many. Like, the kid has had a well of a career, and it's like Lane Burrows said, like, he deserved to be honored, but you feel sorry about yourself, or you can go prove that there was a mistake made.
If I could find a line on
Corona two on dingers Cusa, tomorrow.
On the Coosa Tourney MVP.
There it is. Yeah, I agree. And listen, he's had a tremendous career. There's so many players, like I said, last five, six, 7 years, it just feels like all-timer after all-timer.
They get a chance to go out at home. That's cool.
It is really cool, and it's like Joey Fresh said, like, this team's 26-5 at home. Like, I wouldn't want to play them on their home turf. Like, it almost go back to that Western Kentucky game on that Friday night where we talked last week. Like, you just felt like they were going to win. Like, because it's what they've done all year long.
I mean, they've had what? I'd say one bad weekend.
In terms of a season?
Yeah, in terms of this season. Well, no, at home.
At home. Southern Miss
series.
Yeah. And listen, it's a good baseball
team. And even that series, your back's against the wall, you drop the first two, you go out and you salvage
you don't
game
get
three.
Swept.
No, you don't get swept.
Yeah. And that's who they've been.
Bounce back.
It's who they are. And listen, I think we're in for a magnificent weekend or week of baseball. First pitch tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock against Middle Tennessee.
Tentatively scheduled.
Yeah, probably like 9 o'clock. Okay, let's hope for like 5, right?
Realistically, probably.
5 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. They may run quick and you start at 4.
Yeah, it might get a 10-run rule. You never know. Here's my thing. Tech fans, like, we all remember 2021. Like, there needs to be that sort of electricity. Like, this is, in all honesty, like, this is your last chance. Like, here you go. You got 2 games at a minimum, 5 at a maximum. Show up and show out. Like, create an environment for the ages. This team has earned an opportunity to potentially play in its 3rd regional in 4 years. They're competing at a very, very high level. Very high level. I want to thank Ryan Ivey. I want to thank Lane Burrows for both joining us on the Rejuve-Me hotline. Shout out to Joey Fresh for giving us a call as well. We'll be back for the season finale of Bleed Tech Blue Radio next week. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7. Brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, Dairy Queen, and Bienville Motors. Join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host Ben Carlisle on the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7.
Is like that, but Eastern Europe is like that, and it was like being in freaking Youngstown, Ohio, or downtown Detroit when all those buildings were boarded up. I don't know what they're like now, but yeah, I mean, that's that they coming from some tough circumstances over there, and that's, you know, maybe one reason that they're so such good athletes,
so driven to get out of.
I don't think our kids get complacent, Rob. I just think they're not being trained at the same level as the players over in Europe.
Richard, in Seattle, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Richard?
Well, hey, fellas, thanks, and I do appreciate your show.
Thank you.
So
there's only two sports in the really two worldwide sports, soccer and hoop. And when you look at every team, big team in the world, you know, the Manchesters and stuff, all their teams are made up of people from all over the world, players from all over the world. The big difference, though, between us and the rest of the world is that sports here are tied up in the school system, high yes. school and university and college.
Yes. Yes.
The rest of the world, that's not the case. Schools don't supply teams and buses and travel and all that. Everywhere else, it's club teams. Anyway, listen, I love your show. I listen to it almost every night when I'm making dinner. So
thank you.
You guys take care.
And Rob, I think
yep,
that's a great
it.
Point.
Thank you.
We've broached that before. I mean, over here, if you're 14 and your grades aren't good, you can't play or you're not
right.
supposed to be able to. And I know kids who have not been able to play for a season or whatever because their grades weren't good, even though they were sensational athletes. And that is a difference, Rob. If you're 14 over there, I mean, you're going to play pro ball and you're probably getting tutored.
I'm gonna quote Doug Gottlieb, okay? I'm going to quote Doug Gottlieb.
Yep.
Chris, when I tried out for Fox for ESPN Radio, I tried out with Doug Gottlieb on game night.
Right.
Like, literally, tried out the first time on ESPN Radio was with Doug Gottlieb. And he talked about Darko Milicic, who was the pick for the Pistons, right? Didn't pan out, didn't work for the Pistons. He probably, Chris, was 10 or 15 years too early.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
When people, absolutely. Because the game that he plays now is the European threes.
Who
and
knows
the perimeter.
How good that guy
kid would have been. Right.
Yeah.
But my point was, Doug said to me that night, I'll never forget it. He said Darko was the best 14 or 15-year-old player he had ever seen, Chris, because he had already played with men.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
was already like a pro. He right. wasn't like a 14-year-old playing high school basketball.
Right, right.
No, so that kind of yeah. talks about what you're talking about. Let's go to Chili Tim in Atlanta. Tim, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
What up, gentlemen? How's everybody doing?
How are you?
What's up, Tim?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I'm going to preface this by saying I have a grandson. He'll be 8 in July. We share the same birthday. He's already 4'8", right? So his dad played in the He played a little bit in the NBA, and he played mostly overseas.
Okay.
So his dad is working with him now, and he's really teaching him, like, fundamentals. He said, you know, a lot of the stuff that, like, American kids do, cause he said when he played overseas, he played with those guys. He's like, the one thing he noticed with those guys is that they're very, you know, he said they didn't care if you could shoot. You know, dribble a lot of things. Like, you know, they made sure that you could handle the ball, passing. Like, they drilled down. He said a lot of American players that played overseas, like he did, he was like, they had to learn quickly, like, okay, a lot of this stuff that we did over here that got us to the NBA and we thought, you know, was whatever. He's like, we learned quickly that we had to change up or we weren't going to be playing over here very long. And he said it's a different type of game that they do over there. So they do concentrate on fundamentals, passing, movement, things
right.
like that. So he said he learned that. So he's teaching my grandson, you know, now my grandson, like I said, he'll be 8 this summer, but he's already working with him on those type of skills.
Now, Tim, did you say your grandson is 4'8"?
Yeah, he's
already
7 years old. He's 4'8".
Wow. He's taller than Chris's brother right now already.
That's the size of my mom, 4'8". I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so they said he's going to probably end up being about 6'9" once it's all said and done.
Well,
but
I think, yeah. look, five-man basketball, which we used to play here in the NBA. Michael Jordan played five-man basketball.
It wasn't a million years ago, like fossils.
Right, right. Even the Warriors and the Spurs and the Nuggets now, like, they play that five-man basketball. That's one thing I like about Anthony Edwards is that he plays within the system, right? He doesn't dominate the ball. He plays within the system and stars within that system, and I think that's just a better, as far as winning, that's going, if the talent is equal and one team plays five-man basketball and another plays one or two-man basketball and everybody just space out and wait for these two guys to do everything, and maybe pass you the ball for a jump shot, the team that plays five-man ball is going to win. That's just it's just a better way to play the game, and so I think that's what's lacking at a lot of our levels. All right, it's the Odd Couple. We got Olden Polynice around the corner, but first, Martin Weiss with the update. Martin Weiss.
I got you. The Boston Celtics right now with a 21-12 lead over the Indiana Pacers. Just under 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Boston jumped out to a 12-0 lead, and then Indiana tried to come back a little bit, but as you see, 21-12. It was 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Right now, leading the Boston Celtics in scoring, Al Horford.
If the score stays like this, the Pacers will cover the 10.5. Okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling, though, there might be some more baskets scored in the next 3.5 quarters, though, Rob. I know Shekel City, but
it was wishful thinking. I'm just saying.
Yeah, all right, I'll say that. Wishful thinking for sure. The NFL changed a rule about, limiting the length. Ooh, I'm sorry, I forgot this one thing. Per ESPN, there is growing optimism that Kristaps Porzingis could make his return to the Eastern Conference playoffs for the Boston Celtics by game 4 of this series. NFL owners approve a rule limiting the length of head coaching interviews for assistant coaches whose teams are still in the playoffs to a maximum of 3 hours per NFL network. Previously, there was no limit to the length of interviews, and some candidates could be asked to interview for as long as 6 or 7 hours while also preparing for a playoff game.